We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday afternoon. Congratulations, we have made it. Self high fives all the way around. We're going to get Josh Jones connected with Stan Andruski. Become part of this whole vet-to-vet program, vehicles to vets. Matco Mafia, my buddy Chuck Killian, who is the Matco man for our area, says they would love to be involved with the vet-to-vet program as well. No surprise there. Chuck and the team at Matco are just such amazing guys. Those are real tools, by the way. A lot of people go, I don't understand what Matco is. Yeah, if you're fixing a car, like you really know how to turn a wrench, almost guaranteed your wrench is from Matco. But anyway, so thanks to Chuck Killian, who was our Matco Mafia boss. He's like the godfather. They call themselves the Matco Mafia. So we'll get them hooked up as well. Coming up at 5:35, it is the final Friday of the month, and so we will, of course, bestow the Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor on a very, very deserving officer, Sergeant Marcus Bridgel from the Virginia Division of Capitol Police. And yeah, we are going to talk more about this whole Brian Moran morass. I think it's something that the federal government needs to step in. The FBI, the Department of Justice, absolutely must investigate this matter. It is not going to be handled properly by the Secretary of Public Safety. The Attorney General's interests are at really a question here. And a number of folks had suggested, well, how about the Virginia State Police, the BCI, the Bureau of Criminal Investigation? Look, they're all great folks, those special agents, but ultimately the state police reports to the Secretary of Public Safety. So I say no. No, it's got to be a DOJ matter. All right. Take a breath, because down in Florida, probably sipping a drink out of a coconut sitting by the pool, is our good friend John Reed. John is broadcasting from CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. I know he's getting stoked for the appearance of a couple of Trumps, Donald and Donald Jr., one a former president and maybe one a future president. John, thanks for being here.
I wish I was at the pool, because it is a beautiful, beautiful, amazing pool, but I have not been able to carve out time to make it there. I did just duck out of this high-end, very snooty, I mean, not everybody's nice, but it's kind of a snooty fundraising event for activist groups. You know, this is such an odd collection of people. On one side of the room at CPAC, you've got activists. I mean, the people who go to work 10 hours a day, and then they eat some dinner, and then they're up till 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, putting up political signs. You know, right. They care about it. They've got sweat equity in the Republican Party. And then you've got, interns who are kind of networking. And then on the other side of the room, like the room I was just in here at this fancy restaurant, you've got the high money people who go around and decide they care too, but the way they show that they care is by making an investment in the causes they care about and recruiting candidates that they want to support. And so it was, you know, it's been a while since I have been actively involved in this game, so I kind of stand on the side, and I'm here by myself, and just listen to these guys pitch themselves. Oh, I will be a great representative from, you know, the great state of da-da-da-da-da, and they try to right. Get these guys to write them big checks so that they can actually compete. And that, even though these people really believe in these principles, it's a hard sell right now. A lot of the money, people don't want to throw money away if they're not going to be competitive.
So let me ask you, John, because you've clearly been around the block once or twice with all of this. Are you seeing folks there that, in your professional opinion, you would say, yeah, you know what? That guy, that gal, they've got it. They are definitely somebody who could win that race.
I think so. I think so. I think there's a younger group of young conservative activists, and I don't mean right out of school, you know, who think I'll be the youngest president in the history of America, and they're just deluded into thinking they're the answer to all of our problems because they're so great. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a lot of people who are business folks. Who served a few years in the military, started a business, and are really distressed at the direction they see the country going in. And a lot of them, just based on the few conversations I've had in the last 3 days, I think they would be very happy to sit it out and buy a nice house and live with their wife and their kids and just go vote in November. But they're really fearful about where the country's headed. They're fearful about how it's going to impact their business. And they look at their children and think, all right, if I don't get in the game here politically, then the next step is probably not one that either we lose completely or it really deteriorates into something that none of us want to see. So I've been coming to CPACs for a long time.
Right.
And I do think that the humiliation and anger about what happened in November has, instead of causing a lot of people to retreat, it's bringing out some of the right people that we need to kind of refresh the ranks here within the Republican Party.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I really am. It's such an interesting event. And as you point out, sometimes it's two very, very different events, and it always has something to do with how the preceding election went and who the players are. We spoke yesterday about former President Trump coming out, first time since he's left office. He'll be speaking on Sunday, but I also know that his son, Donald Jr., is scheduled to speak tomorrow, correct?
Well, he spoke a little earlier, and I heard you, believe it or not, I didn't go to the pool, but I did take a little nap after my show. And then
God.
I got up and I listened to you, as I always do. And I heard you talking about that. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Is it tomorrow? Or is it today? Well, it was today. Donald Trump Jr. spoke today. So before I came over to do the reception circuit, which will probably go on until 9 or 10 tonight, I was like, you know what? Jeff was talking about Donald Trump Jr. Let me just duck in there. And I listened to him in person. You know, the place was so packed. They wouldn't even let me in with a media badge, which is kind of weird. You know, usually press, you flash your press badge and you can at least stand in the back of the room. No, the place was packed. So there's enthusiasm for him. And I heard your description of him that, you know, he maybe, I don't mean this to, like you, I don't mean it to denigrate Donald Trump the elder, but Donald Trump the senior comes across a little differently than his dad does. And this audience ate it up. Now I have to go back and listen to the actual speech, which I'm sure will be on C-SPAN. It'll be available online and hear the content of it. But based on attendance in the room, he was a big draw today.
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, I'm happy to hear that. And I do think that he is, and I have to use the word, and I really don't mean it in a bad way, in a pejorative way, but he's probably more palatable for some of the voters that, at least in theory, we've got to reach if we're gonna save this country.
I think that's true. You know, Donald Trump, people forget the guy's 74 years old, so he's from a different generation. He carries himself in a different way. And his son may be, in some ways, a little more savvy in the way he interacts with some of the voters we've lost in the past. Now, I mean, you know, let's not kid ourselves. We could put Mother Teresa up as our nominee, and the Democrats will turn that person into the devil. that's just politics, and it's on steroids these days, but I think that I think he will certainly be someone who will be of influence going forward in the party. And the person I listened to earlier was Josh Hawley.
Okay.
And, you know, he was taking a beating earlier this month after the January 6th situation, all because he dared to say, stop, let's make sure before we coronate Joe Biden, let's make sure that we're doing the right thing and give confidence to all the voters, Republican and Democrat alike, Biden voters, Trump voters. Let's make sure everybody agrees that the election was run fairly and that the end result is the just result. And he was brutalized for it.
Yes.
Well, you know, this CPAC is a, I don't want to simplify, but I mean, it's like an audition.
It is.
For
absolutely, it is.
People who want to run for president, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I remember when I was working for George Allen, who was senator from Virginia at the time. He was the keynote speaker right next to Dick Cheney. And it was, I mean, we worked on the speech, and he worked on the speech for hours and hours and hours right up until the moment that he gave it. It's the audition for who might be the nominee.
Yes, it is.
And Hawley was great today. I mean, he looked good. He sounded good. I thought his rhetoric was, I mean, I don't know that it was that groundbreaking, but it was fresh in some ways. And, you know, and the fact that he was willing to stand up and take that public beating, and he's still standing and didn't apologize and didn't cave and didn't cower and grovel to the press and to the Democrats. I'm impressed by that. I think a lot of other people were, too.
What about Ted Cruz? Because he spoke today, didn't he?
Yeah, he wound the crowd up, too. Now, I didn't get to hear as much of his remarks, but people in this little reception I'm in, they're still buzzing about him, too. But I think he's been, you know, having run before and being one of the two senators from Texas, he has a bigger platform generally.
Sure.
And, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about Ted Cruz. I don't know that he's as accessible. And Josh Hawley just comes across as like the guy you'd want to have a beer with,
yeah,
or
Josh Hawley,
take your wife over.
Exactly. Josh Hawley, yeah. I think, seems very approachable. He really does seem like that super smart guy who lives down the street and would help you if you said, oh, my God, Josh, you know, I don't know, this tree fell in my yard. And he just comes across. Now, I don't know. He may actually in real life be the total opposite for all but he comes across that way. And Ted Cruz is so savvy, and he's so wicked smart, but he, again, has this reputation of not only being smart, he's also the guy who reminds you how smart he is. And I don't know. But I think he's thoroughly entertaining.
I think that assessment is correct, having been around him. And I'm not putting him down. But, you know, there's certain – just like when you're choosing who you're going to be best friends with, which is not what you should do when you're picking president, let's be honest. But there's a component to that. And you got to be relatable to the average person and gain their confidence and also have them like you, right? And I think Josh Hawley – He did well for himself today. Now, it's a long way till the next election cycle, and it's 4 years till the next presidential, but this was important today.
That's good. Yeah. Now, before I let you get back to the cocktail circuit there, my friend, I do have to ask you about the Brian Moran appearance this morning.
You were listening, huh?
Oh, goodness gracious. My takeaway, as he says, I didn't see it. I think, you're an attorney, and you're a smart attorney, and you're also savvy. You go, well, I didn't see 13 pages. Okay. Did you get a briefing on it? Did you tell them what you wanted to be in there? I didn't edit anything. I didn't direct anybody. So now I was reminded of Bill Clinton, in all candor. You know, what is the meaning of is? Where I just thought Brian Moran's answers were all so lawyer-like, where he could say, I didn't direct it. But I did encourage discussion. I don't know if you got the same takeaway this morning.
Well, a few people emailed me and said something similar to that after the show. And, you know, you and I are very different in the way we talk to people on the air. And I like to just let the person talk and not interrupt. And I was surprised that Brian spoke. At one point I was looking at my clock thinking, okay, the producer's going to freak out because we're going long here. But he spoke and didn't try to stop. And I would think, you know, if he was trying to be lawyerly, or at least if I was working with a lawyer, I'd have my two or three lines written down on a card in front of me, and I would say them over and over and over again, and you'd never get me to budge off those two or three lines. And it felt to me, as I was listening to him live, like, all right, the guy's just talking. He seems like he's really trying to explain this. Now, I'm not, you know, I swear to God, I hope that he's being straight up with us on the radio, yep. because yep. he was pretty clear that he's not accepting any blame for removing those pages. And those yep. pages aren't the table of contents and the, right. you know, the copyright page. They are the meat of yep. what the inspector general was asked to look at. So it's not a benign removal.
Right.
So look, I think generally people who are guilty of something, they call out at the last minute and say, oh, I'm sorry, there's a scheduling problem. I don't want to come on the radio. He came on the radio. So I give him points for that. And he was so clear that he says he has nothing to do with it that I hope that's the case. Now, that doesn't wash this away. Who did it? Who took right. those pages out?
Yeah.
Because that's a big deal. That's the whole point of why you got an inspector general. And whoever did this is going to have to be hammered. We cannot allow that to occur in yeah. in yep. Virginia, or we go into the land of corruption. Not okay yeah. in my book.
No, I'm with you on that. Well, listen, John, we also have gone far over time.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I always appreciate the insight. We'll check in, I'm sure, on Monday, because I do want to hear your feelings, your thoughts, your reaction to President Trump's speech on Sunday and everything that happens during the weekend. Look, there's a lot of stuff at CPAC that goes on during that closing weekend. So I'm looking forward to listening to you on Monday and then talking to you Monday afternoon.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you Monday. Have a great
All right.
weekend.
Thank you, sir. That is John Reed. And you got to make sure you're here Monday morning at 6, because he'll have the full recap of what President Trump had to say. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.